And that could come from not honoring your parents. That could come from thinking that your coping mechanism is you don't need anybody else. Anything to make you not have a fear of the Lord. I've had a reverent fear of the Lord for quite a while, so I really don't believe that I've done this in anybody's life. And if I have, you can come and talk to me, and we'll break the power of it or whatever, but I don't believe I have. I think that's why I had a hard time understanding it, because God told me to get rid of opinions over, you know, 15 years ago, and I really pretty much have. And everything I see both ways. I say, well, because I said, well, I can see where God could do this, but I can see where he could do this. I can see where he could do it. You're going to have to ask God. Has anyone, to their recollection, have I ever told you exactly what to do about a situation where there was more than one choice that wasn't a blatant sin issue? I mean, if it's a blatant sin issue, I'll tell you. That's Bible. If you come to me and say, you know, should I murder this person? You know, I'm not going to say, well, you need to pray about it, you know, and then, you know, okay. If it's a blatant issue, I'm going to say, you know, no, you can't sin like that. If you ask me if you can cheat on your taxes, if you ask me things, I'm going to blatantly tell you the truth, okay? I may not tell you unless you come and ask me. I mean, I'll teach you not to murder people and stuff, but I'm not going to get in your life that way. And if you have that attitude with your kids or anyone, I told you so, then you've got to watch that you might have some of this in you, okay? Now, let me do undermining, because we're going to do these altar calls at the same time, because all of this is part of hottie, nasty hottie, okay? And what we're doing is we're tearing this down, and hopefully we've gotten to most of the different attributes of hottie. And so maybe the whole thing will come out. But, okay. I've noticed some things happening. Now, undermining is a spirit that Absalom had. And we've talked about the Absalom spirit. And it's very that spirit. But now that we're dealing with haughty, we see where it's coming from. I didn't understand it. But let me say, something happened. And I try not to undermine. You know, I know I used to do this with my husband and my kids some, and I really remember repenting of that and getting rid of it, which is why it's probably not that bad. And just little things you say that would cause somebody to disrespect somebody else. But I really remember getting rid of that. But the Lord really wanted me to understand this, and at the same time, he wanted me to deal with every speck of it. And I never really sought for that name. So some situations were set up recently where I was really being pushed by the enemy. Really pushed to really get ticked at somebody and get them out of my life, and really pushed to speak truth without love. And so I kept hearing some things from someone about how wonderful this other person was and how much they helped me and how much they did this and how much they did that, and it was on and on and on and on, and oh, all this, also, oh, how horrible for this poor person and all they've gone through, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, it kept at me and at me and at me. And I just kept seeing the enemy use things. So what I did is, and I kept not saying anything, being nice. And finally, you know, God took grace or whatever, and it snapped in me. And I said to this person who was just going on and on about this other person, I said, well, this is why, blah, blah, blah. And I told about one of their issues they're fighting. And it kind of just threw water on the parade. You know what I'm saying? It took care of the poor me story. It took care of how helpful they were and all. Because from where I was coming from, it wasn't true. I was just being undermined. But I didn't know that was the word. So immediately after I said this thing, and I said it to the person where it would never matter, it would never come up again. You know, they really didn't even, it wasn't a real strong relationship kind of thing. But man, I felt so bad. Don't you hate it when the Holy Spirit zaps you? But don't you love it? I love it when he does it, but I hate it when he does it, because he's quick, man. But the quicker he is, the closer you are to him. And so, I mean, I didn't even get one step away from this person when I felt that feeling of, oh my gosh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And it's the first time ever. And I asked God this recently, because when we went to these conferences and all, you kept hearing people say, love. I heard somebody kept preaching, love covers shame, love covers shame, and love covers sin. And that's not true. Love does not, love exposes darkness. Love destroys the yoke of shame. Love destroy sin. So love covers sin. When the Bible says love covers, I always got, what is a cover? What is a cover? Because I hear it taught wrong all the time. And that's where people don't like what we do. They don't like how we expose darkness. They don't like how we overcome by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb. They don't like that we're sitting here and admitting to things and getting free. They would rather use the lovers. Cindy, you shouldn't be doing deliverance. You know, shouldn't be doing these gentlemen. Don't make people say the stuff they've done, because love covers that. You're not supposed to tell that. I said, no, I just knew in the Holy Spirit. I thought, no, that's why the church is still like the world, because we've covered this stuff instead of dealt with it. Jesus dealt with it. But I never understood the scripture love covers until that moment, because I had been telling the same people awesome testimonies about stuff people have gotten through in this ministry, about what God had done, you know, where they came from and where they were going to and what God had done in their lives. And I was never convicted. I was never convicted, because I wasn't trying to undermine the person or any possible relationship that they might have. I was glorifying God. I was talking about, look where they came from and what God's doing now. Look at what God has done. Look how awesome God is. And it was all for God's glory. And it was anointed, and the power of God was coming on it. And people, and they were being convicted and changed by seeing how real all this is. Instead of looking at a bunch of people and thinking, oh, everybody has a hunky-dory life. When you hear, no, they did this, and they went through this, and they did this. And God got the glory, okay? So what was the difference when I said what this person was going through? The difference was my motive. The difference was I was lashing out because I'd been lashed out at. And I wouldn't have lashed out that way if I didn't have something in my heart that God wanted to deal with. So the cool thing was, as soon as I went into the restroom, the Holy Spirit said, you go and you make that right. And the hard thing is, it's hard to really make that right totally, because once you've said it, you've said it. And once you've said it, it's been heard and it's been received. And that's the really painful part. And that's where we just have to trust that God will work it, and that God will use it somehow to actually help that person see something. And God's so good with all that. That's why there's no condemnation, but there is brokenness. It hurt me that I hurt the Lord, and it hurt me that I hurt this person that I had to apologize to, because, it was just wrong. And so anyway, many times God will have you go to the person that you were saying something about and make it right there too. And that's whatever the Holy Spirit's doing with all of that. But anyway, so I knew in the bathroom, I said, Lord, this is what love covers. Love covers that issue in their life that makes them see things wrong while they're working through it. Love covers using those hurtful places in their life to make people not think as highly of them that haughty spirit's trying to make people think. Do you see what I'm saying? Love covers those things that God's still working out. So I understand that scripture now. Yay. But I was like, oh, Lord. And the Lord turned things around. But so when I got home, I said to the Holy Spirit, because, when you're there with a bunch of people and stuff, you can't really get all this stuff worked out. You just know, God, put me on hold. Give me grace so I don't blow up. Because, I mean, this thing was at me so bad, I would have taken somebody's head off. And I can't say that too much. I've had very few things provoke me in the last few years. So I knew this thing was in me. Because what God will do, he'll take all grace. You have no authority over this because you got this. Even if you don't have it, because you got so much fruit of the Spirit, it's so hidden under awesome fruit of the Spirit. It's like God says, okay, it's like an ant, It's like a little tiny ant now. It used to be an elephant. You used to live in it all the time. It's how you handled the abuse you got at home. It's how you handled spousal abuse. It's how you handled a teacher, whatever. Man, that thing was an elephant. And the Holy Spirit pounded that thing down. You never got the speck out. And he looks like an ant now. But when the time comes that God wants to deal with the ant, that little sucker just crawled right on up the wall, got himself right up here in my mouth, and said, whoosh, my turn. I've waited all these years in here. Well, I didn't know you were still in there. But instantly, I knew I'm going to be set free from this. And so I got home and I said, God, I don't know what it was. What was that? And that's when the Lord, and I said, it made me feel like, and the Lord said, you undermined it. You undermined it, that relationship. So I looked up undermined. Isn't this fun stuff? We have so much fun on Tuesday nights, don't we? I just love other people who listen to my stuff and say, that woman was so messed up and bad. Actually, I was, and I am, and God's setting me free. Hallelujah. But I wonder about the people who think that. Undermine. And this is kind of funny. to blow up a wall. Okay, to remove the foundation or support of. As to undermine a reputation. To weaken gradually. To wear away. And then the other dictionary that I looked at, it was like to subtly wear away at a foundation. This is a really rebellious spirit. This will keep rebellion in your heart. And it's like a subtle way of handling someone hurting you. It comes in as a coping mechanism to hurt someone or make other people not listen to someone else who's hurting you. But once it's in, it can operate against people who aren't even really hurting you. How many people understand what I'm talking about? Isn't it ugly? You know, gossip is a undermining can be a really strong thing of gossip, a part of gossip. But gossip isn't always undermining. One thing I think about undermining, there has to be a sphere of influence or relationship involved. So it's a mother undermining a father. So she tells the kids, you don't have to listen to dad. It's like making somebody question the authority or the integrity of someone else. Isn't this nasty? How many know they've probably done this? Also, this altar call isn't just for me alone. You won't be alone in this. Can you see how these two are very much alike with haughty but very different? You could actually have one without the other. You could be where you don't even think you have an opinion strong enough to tell somebody else what to do, boom, like you're God. But very still easily pick at. Let me give some examples to show some people. These are things that have really been happening too, but I'll change them around so everybody won't obviously know what I'm talking about maybe. For example, let's say you go to lunch with me and we have some new people who don't know me there. People that God, they're trying to make a decision if they should connect with this ministry. They're trying to make a decision if they should be a sphere of if I should be a sphere of influence in their life. And you start talking about something that really doesn't matter. And somebody at the table who knows you, who's not intending, but that spirit's there, could say, well, Cindy, it never happened quite like that. When it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter even if I said it a little bit wrong and my intention isn't lying or I'm not twisting it. Do you know what I'm saying? But that spirit, what that does is it really puts a seed of suspicion in there. It starts to say, oh, maybe she's lying about this. And it does it so subtly, you don't know to what degree. And then if you confront that thing and say, well, what exactly are you talking about? Well, you know, we really only had this happen. And one thing these spirits do is it makes people have to put up a guard unless you just don't care. It's like, Lord, just set me free. Because what it does, it makes you afraid of real intimacy. Because if I just let my hair down and be myself right where I'm at, then this spirit could pick up on that and try to make other people think I'm a liar or that I talk about people behind their back. Or that I'm, do you see what I'm saying? When actually, once in a while, maybe I'll be working something or just say something because I'm not perfect yet. But this spirit will pick up on that and then right at the timing to make other people not respect you or not want your sphere of influence in their life, it'll attack. Or if that person's hurt for something, then they can use this as a weapon to undermine. Do something. It undermines. It's a horrible thing. It's part of haughty. It's a horrible thing because it's making people question the Holy Spirit's leading. I'm not talking if you're a blatant liar and the person needs to be known about that. I'm talking about just a normal, subtle thing. What happens is this devil tries to make people, both of these devils, try to make people, especially undermining though, afraid to be who they are and afraid to say anything. Satan wants to shut us up. He wants to shut us up. He has tried so hard to shut me up. Almost no one can stand up here and say, she doesn't talk a lot or whatever, you know, make a joke or something. My whole life, I've been attacked for talking a lot. I'm going to keep talking everything God's given me to say because he's given me to say to set people free. So too bad, devil, if you don't like me talking. I'm sure you don't. I bet you hate it. He hates me exposing darkness. What I'm doing is I'm exposing darkness. I'm exposing the darkness in us. I'm exposing the darkness in other people. I'm exposing darkness, not to undermine anybody, but so we can get free. Hallelujah. That's what we do on Tuesday nights. I'm thankful for it. Do you see what I'm saying? Undermining is that spirit that really will cause the kind of gossip that brings things down. You know, call such and such and call such and such. I'm not saying not to talk things out, folks. We are human beings. And we need to work things out. The Bible says that there's wisdom in godly counsel. So the Bible says. You know what I mean. If you got that thing where you got to work it out, you'll say, I'll never say anything again. I'll never say anything again. And you can't help it. You will. Unless you bring in a devil to stop you, and I don't want that. I don't want to go down in the dungeon that Karen lived for all those years where she didn't have a voice. You don't want to go back down there either, do you, Karen? It ain't worth it. It's worth it to say a stupid thing once in a while. But you like to be able to say a stupid thing once in a while with somebody not jumping on you and trying to hurt you with it or hurt other people's opinion of you with it. But then you just forgive because you realize they don't mean to do that because we've all learned that. And then you go to God and say, is that in me?